Thank you, Ian. Into the 9 o'clock hour we go, 9:07 now. Phil Napoli joins us, our friend, professor of public policy at Duke, author of Social Media and the Public Interest, Media Regulation in the Disinformation Age. Good morning, Professor. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Happy New Year. Tell me about the book before we get started here.
Sure. So the book explores how our social media ecosystem has sort of exacerbated disinformation problems and what, if any, regulatory solutions we could apply within the context primarily of the U.S. and this obviously the strong First Amendment tradition that we have here.
So let's talk about what happened in the Senate with the I don't even know what the name of the bill is, but it's about deep fake pornography. Explain what that is in family-friendly terms, if we can, what that is and what the Senate bill would do.
Sure. So deep fake pornography is using AI image generation to generate pornographic images. And, you know, the key part of this that's hugely important, of course, is that this is, you know, non-consensual generation of images. And that, that can be, violations of privacy, violations of human dignity, on and on. And unfortunately and increasingly, we're seeing it used to generate child pornography. So we have something already that has passed called the Take It Down Act. And the Take It Down Act actually doesn't come into effect until May fully, but it criminalizes what we call non-consensual intimate imagery. So criminalizes the production and dissemination of things like deep fake pornography.
Are we starting with anything real here at all, or is the whole thing artificial?
You don't need to start with anything real in the sense that the AI image generators have already hoovered up all the necessary real photos. So,
let me phrase it this way, Professor. I don't mean to interrupt you. Let me phrase it this way, and I'm trying to think of a way to present this. Let's say I want to have a picture of somebody's arm with a tattoo on it. Let's make that the analogy, okay? I want somebody, I want to have a deep fake of my arm. Somebody wants to do a deep fake of my arm with a tattoo of an anchor on it. That's about as family friendly as we can be, right? Does there have to be a real arm to begin with? Does there have to be a real tattoo to begin with? Or can all of this be created out of a series of zeros and ones to create an arm and then create the tattoo, and then all of a sudden they put it on my body?
More or less, yes. And because the AI image generator has plenty of arms and plenty of tattoos to draw from. Could someone say, "Well, is that definitely Tommy's arm?" But there's enough raw materials there that they don't need a picture of you and your arm, et cetera. In other words, the creator of the image doesn't need that. The AI system has typically everything that it needs,
and it could be an amalgam of different arms.
Yeah.
Correct.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. And again, what they've got archived at this point to use as raw materials is practically limitless.
All right, so you can have a law, but enforcement is something else entirely. So let's go back to my example of, I don't like the idea that there is a deep fake out there of my arm with a tattoo of an anchor on my body. How do I go about, who would I call? Who do I call? You know, it's like I see them, it's like, I'm outraged. Who do I call? What do I do?
Well, I mean, what you've just described, I think you're totally out of luck, because it wouldn't rise to the level of a non-consensual intimate image. So you with a tattoo, especially as a public figure, you're out of luck. It would have to be something worse than that for you to have any.
Well, but let's presume, and again, recourse. that's why I cleaned it up to that. Let's presume that it's the worst thing possible, but under the auspices of a tattoo on an arm, okay?
Right. If it's worse than that, then yes, the Take It Down Act gives you the right to reach out to the platform where it is circulating, and they have 48 hours to take it down. Under the new legislation that's also being considered in the Senate, you would also it would give you rights to sue if that is not handled.
I guess what I'm wondering. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was saying, so are there efforts in place to empower you as the victim more than you currently are empowered?
But I guess what I'm wondering is, all of this just feel good stuff, or is there anything that can actually be done? Because for example, and this is a true story, I've been trying to cancel DuckDuckGo for like 5 months now. I don't know how to do it. I can't get through. I don't know what to do. I just can't. I keep going to here, to there, circular. And if I can't get that done, what hopes do I have of reaching the platform? First of all, determining, okay, so this would be on a platform. Say, give me a platform that this would appear on. Some type of deep web thing, or
just float around on X.
On X, okay, or float around on X until I guess they would at some point take it down.
If you asked.
If I asked.
Yes. But here's the thing. I mean, as these sort of pieces of legislation pass, I mean, the reality of this is that any one of these services that generates these deep fakes, it is not difficult for them to disable this functionality. That's reality. Because some, I don't know, if you ask ChatGPT to do this sort of thing, it won't. It is no surprise that the biggest problem where we're seeing this right now is with Grok, Elon Musk's, AI bot.
All right, let's go slow here. Go through that. What problems are we seeing with Grok?
So the latest problems with Grok is that, it is being used, to generate, again, non-consensual sexualized images of folks, of kids as well. The poor, the girl from Stranger Things who's 14 years old, apparently there are, images of her floating around that Grok has generated. So he's, now that is the focus of a lot of regulatory attention, in the UK, for example. Some countries have actually banned Grok at the moment because of its ability to be used in this way. So the reason I bring this up is because the service, it's very easy for them not to provide this kind of functionality. And it almost is silly, I think, to sort of direct the enforcement at the end user or the distributor when these these services could very easily disable this functionality, whether voluntarily or by regulation or by threat of massive numbers of lawsuits or by the death of their business model. There's all sorts of pressures that can be applied here.
But here's what I'm trying to understand. In this case, they're owned by the same guy, right?
Grok? Absolutely. So when you have owner of the AI bot and the owner of the social media platform, not only do you have the mechanism for creation, but distribution is built right in there as well.
So I guess I'm just trying to follow this through. I always try to look at things, Professor, from a real person standpoint, okay? So First of all, whoever this, what was the name of the show you said?
Stranger Things.
Okay. So first of all, whatever it is that's floating around, and I don't think we need to get into the specifics of it, but whatever is floating around might not even be a real human body part. It could be an amalgam of different body parts from God knows how many different people. Accurate?
Accurate.
Okay. So she would take exception because that's her face that's on it, yes?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
But really, when you get right down to it, and I'm trying to be delicate about this, what are people seeing? Because they're not really seeing her, right?
Right.
But, now, I understand if it's your daughter.
They don't know that.
If it's your daughter, you're going to feel different about it, differently about it. I get that. But all this is, when you get right down to it, is this is the same as somebody. You know how they make these signs with a big face on it, somebody's face on it? This is a high-tech version of somebody appearing in public, say at a Mardi Gras parade, naked, holding up a mask with this person's face on it. Accurate or not?
Yes, except it's obvious to anybody that's the artifice there.
Right.
Yeah. To me, there's a better analogy. This is the high tech version of what we've seen, you know, for years and years, which is, you know, using Photoshop to, you know, copy and paste somebody's head right onto a nude model. But that's very easily detectable as well. This gets very, very difficult to detect.
Let's take a break here and try to digest what we've heard, because I just, again, going back to my experience with trying to cancel a server, a search engine service, I just don't know how you would even begin to, and I understand the legislation and the necessity for it, but I just don't know how in practice any of this could ever work, and how, if you take it down here, it's like whack-a-mole, it's going to come up somewhere else. We're talking about Phil Napoli, professor of public policy at Duke, author of Social Media in the Public Interest, Media Regulation in the Disinformation Age, Elon Musk's Grok, drawing scrutiny around the world for generating sexually explicit deepfakes. Some countries are blocking it entirely. What kind of regulation do we have in the United States around this? And how much moderation do social media companies do? Are they humans making these decisions, or is all of that automated? Tommy Tucker, glad you're with us. Back in a flash, WWL. It is 9:25. Not so fun when we talk about Grok and deepfake. Explicit, sexually explicit deepfakes involving child porn in some cases. Phil Napoli, our guest, professor of public policy at Duke, author of Social Media in the Public Interest, Media Regulation in the Disinformation Age. So let me talk about Grok here. Who has access to Grok? And I'm trying to look at this from the enforcement angle of it. If somebody makes a deep fake of my kid, and a child, and I don't like it. My kid's 29, so you know it still would bother me. But a child, and it's child pornography, and how do you go about backtracking that? Who creates this? How do they get it on Grok? Who approves it? Does somebody approve this before it gets posted, or is anybody approving anything before it gets posted, or is it the Wild West? And then only if somebody complains does then somebody start doing something to take it down?
Yeah, that's a good question, and it's a little complicated with Grok. So, for example, there's a version of Grok that is just on X. Right, that's embedded into the social media platform. So you can literally go on X and see what people are asking Grok to do. And then it's right there on X to be shared. It also exists as a freestanding app so that you can generate images and then, you know, distribute them if you choose to or don't choose to, but you know, or however you might see fit to distribute them. And so you know, there's a variety of ways you can use it. But when you ask it to do something, it has, in theory, built-in rules about what it won't do, just like all of these AI generators have. But it's certainly never any human weighing in, evaluating the appropriateness of your request as you make it.
So is it a human that's evaluating that? That's what I'm trying to understand. Or
No, not at all.
It's the machine that's evaluating that.
Yes, the machine has been given a set of rules about what it is and is not allowed to do. And so with the example with Grok, its rules about what it is not allowed to do are a lot looser than a lot of the other AI image generators.
Does artificial intelligence factor in any of this at all?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, that's fundamentally what's generating the image. That's what's processing the request and determining its appropriateness. My understanding, I don't know the specificness at all, but apparently some folks are getting good at phrasing the requests in such a way as to work around what the AI generator has been instructed not to do, which seems like an odd skill, right? To be able to talk an AI image generator into doing something it's prohibited from doing, but these are the kind of skills people are developing.
At least it proves that the humans are smarter than the AI, at least for now, I guess.
Yeah, I guess we'll look at the bright side there.
So I'm looking at a story from the BBC here, and it quotes somebody from the Internet Watch Foundation. We do not believe it's good enough to simply limit access to a tool which should never have had the capacity to create the kind of imagery we've seen in recent days. Charity previously saying its analysts have discovered criminal imagery of girls aged between 11 and 13, which appear to have been created using Grok. So in this instance, and I know you don't know about this specific case, but would this have started with real child porn, or would this all be, or could this all be made up stuff, amalgams of different things, and somehow altered to look like, you know, I got to be careful what I say here because it can get dicey, but to physically look as though it's a child and not an adult if it is a real picture? Or can somebody take one of these iPads, you know, like an artist uses and draws things, and then from there generate that into an AI image?
I don't know about that, what that specific example you just gave, but again, yeah, no, the AI image generator does not need to have a library of child pornography to draw upon in order to generate a convincing image, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It doesn't need that as, you know, in its archives. But the other thing is with that BBC example, what they were referencing there about access is one of the things Musk did with Grok was started to put the AI image generation capacity behind a paywall. So it just becomes, you know, that it was, you can still do it, but now it's behind a paywall, which seems silly.
Yeah. And what's the word I'm thinking of? Certainly not sincere. Let's put it that way. A sincere effort to moderate this.
As a way to use it as a revenue generator.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. This is terrible. This is horrible. However, I'm making God knows how much money off of it. So it would seem as though if people wanted to get control of this, they would have to somehow, the good would have to overcome the bad, and the good would have to somehow make those that are profiting from this suffer so that they would improve their behavior?
Exactly. Exactly right. And that can come from a variety of directions.
Let me just say what I'm thinking. Yeah. If for whatever reason you're so incensed at this with Grok, if you were to start a protest and stop using X, stop buying Teslas, stop doing whatever it is that Elon Musk makes money doing, well, then maybe you'd get his attention. Accurate or not?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, and if people did that in mass, and importantly, stopped buying the products for anybody who advertises on X, that has to be a key part of this as well.
I got you. And is there any sincere attempt to do that, or are people? See, because first of all, before people can do that, they'd have to understand what is going on and how prevalent is it, and how many people realize the degree of prevalence. Let me ask it that way.
That's a good question, and I don't know the answer to that. One always wonders how much this stuff sort of is percolating outside of, you know, the realm of those of us who do this kind of thing for a living.
And this is Grok. This is like one of the things that's out there, right? I mean, that's a lot of people know about, and X and everything else. God only knows what's going on websites that are not, I hate to say, or apps that aren't as reputable as that, correct? Or social media platforms that aren't as reputable, and I put reputable in quotation marks, as that.
Yeah, I mean, and Grok is, I mean, and X is pretty way down the list at this point as far as being reputable. Okay. And its user base has shrunk.
Popular maybe would have been a better word.
Base has shrunk.
Maybe popular would have been a better word. Okay.
Yeah, but even there, he has diminished it since he's bought it. He has diminished its reach. He has diminished its advertising revenue. All of those things.
So, where do we go from here? Because I don't see this getting better anytime soon. I know we passed a law in the Senate. It's not gotten through Congress. I don't know if the House is going to look at it or not. But even at that, it seems like it's going to be God knows how many layers removed from it actually appearing on the internet. Again, to who do you call and how do you get it taken down, or what legal course do you pursue? There's no way to streamline any of this, is there? I guess what I'm trying to say, Phil, is that if, God forbid, there's a fake out there of your child that appears to be engaging in some kind of terrible act with God knows what, and you want it taken down, again, who do you call? What do you do? There was a time back 30 years ago, 20 years ago, my kid's email, I think it was a Twitter account and something else got hacked, and I was ready to pull a plug on everything and sit at the door with a shotgun. That's how I felt, because I didn't know who to call or what to do. And I can imagine a parent going through that with their child with something like this on the internet. What do you do? Because nothing's going to take it down quickly, right?
Well, according to the Take It Down Act, you should be able to reach out to the platform directly, and the platform should take it down within 48 hours. And if that doesn't happen, it is the Federal Trade Commission then where you would file a complaint, and they're in charge of enforcing that.
No, wait, now right there.
What's happening next?
Right there. Yeah. We call the FTC and we file a complaint, right?
Yep.
Okay, go ahead.
And during, cannot emphasize this enough, even during that first 48 hours, and if it doesn't, you know, however long this drags on, this image could continue to circulate. People could download it and possess it on their own hard drives and recirculate it at some point in the future. And this really goes back to what I was saying before, which is unless all of the applications that generate AI images have this kind of functionality completely disabled, then yes, you are going to find enforcement of this difficult.
Could the United States ban, if for whatever reason this there was the wherewithal, the willpower to do this, could they just ban X in the United States and say, clean it up, or we don't want any part of it here, geofence it, however you do that?
I mean, again, some countries have done that. We have talked in the past about banning platforms like TikTok. Would the First Amendment challenge be, fairly strong? Yes, but we traditionally have not really had strong First Amendment protections for pornography, particularly for child pornography. And if a platform is a documented mechanism for producing and generating child pornography, you would like to think that if such a ban were to happen, that it would be upheld.
Any final thoughts, Phil?
No, I think you freaked me out more now.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. No, because let me tell you, because I don't look at it from the professor's standpoint. I look at it from that horrible day 20 years ago when all three accounts were, it was Facebook, maybe cell phone and some, I forgot what three it was. It was like all at one time, email or something else, all was hacked. And I was freaking out, man. I was getting ready to throw everything, all the computers in the water, and like I said, sit at the door with a shotgun and wait for the attack, the invasion. I look at it from the user end, and I guess you look at it from the other end. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time.
Sure, my pleasure.
Safe travels. You got it. Phil Napoli, professor of public policy at Duke, author of Social Media in the Public Interest, Media Regulation in a Disinformation Age. I wish I could tell you this is going to get better before it gets worse, but it's not. 9:37, we'll talk about the Pelicans when we come back, talk about not getting better, but it's going to get worse. 9:37, 23 till 10, traffic now, WWL. 9:46, 14 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by Ali Cosell, credentialed NBA writer covering the Pelicans. How you doing, Ali?
Hey, good morning, Tommy. I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm all right. Happy New Year to you. How them Pels doing?
They're not rolling very well, are they?
No.
It's ugly. They're worse than the Western Conference.
That's pretty bad. Why?
A lot of reasons, really. And I could probably spend half an hour just talking about the single question. But
Let's get into them. I want to know.
In essence, the number one thing is they are in the process of development. When you draft two rookies that are such high lottery picks, you have to play them. There's always a mandate to play these guys because you invested so much in them already. And when you play the rookies, naturally they're not ready for the NBA. So defensively, teams have been taking advantage of them. And for instance, this month, the two of them going in the last night's game for the month of January were averaging a combined 7.5 turnovers. So there's just a lot of mistakes in essence they've got to play through. Some other things, of course, it's an incomplete roster. They did not have a real center to start the year. What I mean by that is somebody they could rely on, right, for 25, 30 minutes. Eve Missy, he shows promise. Same thing with Carlo Matkovich and, of course, Derek Queen. But, again, you've got to let these guys play through a lot of mistakes in order to let them grow so that they can become what you envision. So that's yet another problem.
And like third, what kind of mistakes, Ollie? Let me jump in here for a second. Like what kind of mistakes?
So when you're watching a game, you'll notice that Eve Missy, incredible athleticism. He can jump up and grab an offensive rebound amongst the best. But you also notice that, for instance, a simple pick and roll, he'll run with whether it's a Jordan Poole, Zion Williamson. He won't roll to the rim when he should. So that, in essence, makes the offense kind of clogs it up defensively. He doesn't know when to, again, he's on the ball. There's a screen set on his man. He should be able to understand the situation when he needs to jump out because it's a shooter or stay back because it's not. It's those type of things that he's still having problems with doing it consistently. Mm-hmm. So when you screw that up against NBA competition that is just so elite, that's going to show in the bottom line, in the bottom score.
Excellent explanation. Keep going, please.
Yeah, and the third thing I was going to say, Tommy, they just don't have enough shooting. Right? I mean, you've noticed when Trey Murphy's not on the floor, and part of the problem is Jordan Poole has not been what they envisioned at all, right? They're missing C.J. McCollum because he was a consistent player, albeit with his faults. With Jordan Poole, younger guy, you expected to get somebody that's probably going to be a little more productive, but until this month, he couldn't make a three-point shot. And now when he is out there, he's making a lot of errors, right? Whether it's a lot of turnovers, again, making bad reads, bad passes, defensively, not giving you the effort you need. That's why his minutes have been so up and down since he's returned from injury. And then you look down the bench, Jordan Hawkins, until last night's game, he hadn't hit a three-pointer for the entire month of January. So just a lot of underperformances. Combine that, like I said, without the holes and the rookie growing pains, that's how you get to 9-33.
Let's talk about Herb Jones in the defense.
Yeah, they miss him. They miss him dearly. And when he's been out there, they've actually been a decent team. That's when they went on that 5-game winning streak. He was out there for all of those games. For some reason, they can't hold down the fort when he's not out there. So they know, for instance, they should be talking more, right, with one another, when to switch, when to do this and that. But yet they don't do it because they're used to Herb doing it, right? So he's just one of the best defenders in the league. And when you go up against any team, they're going to have two good scores. And you saw it last night. Jamal Murray went for 30 points. Peyton Watson, who's not really known as a good primetime scorer, went for 32 because you just don't have a stopper right now like Herb.
Tell me about the Brooklyn Nets.
Well, they're a young team that already beat up on the Pelicans when they went out to Brooklyn. They're going to need to get a little payback. But look, they're a team that is clearly one of the worst teams in the league. But what you saw when you played them last time, they played harder than the Pelicans, right? They ran up and down the court faster. They've got a decent young star in Michael Porter Jr. So they're a team, again, look, the Pelicans, they have to play their best to beat almost any team on any given night. And they're going to have to do that against Brooklyn, who plays faster, young, fresh legs, who are trying to prove themselves in this league.
Looking down the line, do you see anything substantive changing with this team?
You know, I don't expect any seismic changes on the, like, say, the trade market. James Borrego's here to stay. Probably the biggest thing you could see is say, a couple role players getting moved because the contender needs to fill up, shore up their bench. Right? So whether that's a Kevon Looney, and I'm afraid maybe even a Jose Alvarado. Like, they would like to keep Sadiq Bey, but I know there's a lot of value about him. But they've already come out several times saying they're not trading the rookies, of course, but also Herb, Trey, and even Zion Williamson's a part of that group right now.
How's he been looking?
He's been looking better in terms of his health, right, being able to play 30 minutes. But what's hurting, and you've noticed in the last two games, right, the Pelicans need to have somebody that could close for you, right? It's close game, whether they're up a point, down a point. That's when the stars in the league kind of take over games, take you to that finish line. And so far, Zion's not been able to do that, right? He just can't score. Because the biggest problem is he hasn't expanded his game, Tommy. He needs to get to the rim in order to be very effective. And obviously teams know his recipe, so they're going to clog that middle up, won't allow him to get in there. So, in essence, he's just got to expand his game, in my view. I mean, he's 7 years in the league, and we really haven't seen him improve on something dramatically in his game.
What do we know about DeJounte Murray coming back from his injury?
Yeah, if you asked me a month ago, it really felt like we were going to see him sometime towards the end of January, right before the All-Star break. Now it's kind of a question mark. And I'm wondering if the Pelicans are kind of going to bring him back along more slowly, because there's no reason to rush him back. Mm. Two, you don't have a trade market for him. And three, you reinserted Jeremiah Fears into the starting lineup, right? That's your future. So I think in order to avoid that kind of a mess and a headache, we may not see him for a lot longer than we initially thought.
Mm. Any final thoughts, Ollie?
No, I mean, we're just hoping for a second half where you see the young guys, right, grow up, that Zion Williamson starts developing some more confidence in his game and can become a closer. And, of course, having Herb stay healthier, right? It's amazing what a difference this team's performance is when he's out there and when he's not.
I know they lost to the Nets without Zion on December 14th, I think it was. You think they win tonight? Mm-hmm.
You know, I think they will. They've been playing better at home, and they've been playing better overall, right, a little bit more competitive. Right. I mean, the last two games were good opponents, and they just couldn't close the deal in the fourth quarter. Brooklyn doesn't have really that type of problem.
All right. Thank you, Ollie Cosell, credentialed NBA writer covering the Pelicans. WWL, of course, your home for the Pelicans tonight. Pels taking on the Brooklyn Nets in the Smoothie King Center. Pregame 6:30, tip off at 7 on the Big 870 WWL AM. Head on out there, rather, and support the Pels. We'll be back. Find out what Newell's got planned today on WWL.